coverage.
So my friends, what we want to look at today is the concept of Heder Mitzvah. And if you take a look at the Sugyan Shabbos on Kuf Lamed Gimel, which is the first source on your first page, you'll see that the Gemara discusses the case of Mila, and what would be Zeh Keli V'Anveyu in Mila. And then the Gemara goes to Darshan, this Pasuk Zeh Keli V'Anveyu, which is in Parashas B'Shalach, in the Shira, and extrapolate, derive from this Pasuk, the general concept or principle of Heder Mitzvah. So let's turn around the order a little bit. We'll start with the end of the Gemara and then go back to the beginning, because Mila is really just an application of the general rule. The general rule is derived in the Braisa from Zeh Keli V'Anveyu. Hisna lefanav b'mitzvos. So you want to beautify the mitzvos. And the Braisa goes ahead and spells out many examples of this. For example, Asei lefanav sukkana, lulavna, shofarna, tzitzisna, sefer torna. Now it's interesting, there are a number of classical cases of Heder Mitzvah in Shas which do not appear on this list.
Sukkah.
Well, Sukkah is the first on the list. Asei lefanav sukkana. You see that? That's the first on the list. Okay, but for example, Mila, which we're going to discuss at great length, is not here on the list. And not only that, we're not sure exactly what the case of Sefer Torah is. It seems to be broken down into two subcategories. For example, it has Kosev Lo Lishmo. It has to be written with the right intention by the sofer. Number two, it's got Ribbon Dyo Noah. In other words, the ink itself should be high quality. You should use a good kulmus. The quill should be of very good quality. And then it says at the end, Karchan b'shirayim noyim. Shirayim is what we call, for those who are the Ashkenazim would know what I'm talking about, a mantle. You know, that's the cover of the Sefer Torah. Sfaradim have it a little bit different. It's in a silver case, but certainly that silver case, which Sfaradim use for a Sefer Torah, that would come under this concept of Zeh Keli V'Anveyu. At the same time, the Braisa has the case of Lulav Noah. But notice that Lulav Noah means a beautiful Lulav, but there's some more fundamental issue about a Lulav in terms of Zeh Keli V'Anveyu. The Mishnah at the beginning of the third parak of Masech the Sukkah says that a Lulav HaYovesh, a dried up Lulav, is posel. It's totally disqualified. The Mitzvah Rashi says because of Zeh Keli V'Anveyu. And the question is, what is the subject of this Braisa? If the subject of the Braisa is a Zeh Keli V'Anveyu, which is absolutely required, and without which you don't fulfill the mitzvah is disqualified in the absence if you're deficient in Zeh Keli V'Anveyu, then instead of talking about Lulav Noah, talk about a Lulav Yavesh, or in the case of a Lulav Ratuv or Lach, as opposed to Yavesh, right? The flip side of Yavesh is Lach, meaning there has to be some moisture to the Lulav. So in a sense, from Rashi's perspective in Masech the Sukkah, the Braisa is sort of skipping to a higher level, a more advanced, almost luxury kind of level of beautifying the mitzvahs, but it's not addressing a more fundamental issue where sometimes the mitzvah, if it's lacking in Zeh Keli V'Anveyu, it might be completely, completely disqualified. We'll come back to that in a few minutes in Mitzvah, but first, let's take a look at the Braisa of Mila. Now you know that the mitzvah of Mila is to remove the arla. The arla is a foreskin that has many pieces to it, many parts to it. Not all of them must be cut, but they're all included under arla. And what the Braisa is talking about is, let's say the moel has cut the basic part that he absolutely requires of the arla. There are other parts of the arla that he hasn't cut yet. Those are called tzitzin. And Rashi describes the biology of it here in this long paragraph, which is the second on your page. The Braisa assumes that there are two types of tzitzin. There are tzitzin that ma'akvin, that you absolutely have to cut off. And therefore, if the moel hasn't cut those, he's got to go back and make sure that he cuts them. There are other tzitzin which are eina ma'akvin. But the Gemara assumes, even though they're eina ma'akvin, if all things are equal, chatchil, they should be cut, because of Zeh Keli V'Anveyu, to do a perfect job. So again, there's what's absolutely required, it's indispensable. That's b'dieved, that completely nullifies the mitzvah if you haven't done so. And then there's the embellishment of the mitzvah, which we call zekeli v'anvehu, which will, of course, enhance your mitzvah, but it's not indispensable. You can live without it. Tana Rabbanan hamol calls manchu osek b'mila. In other words, he's still in the process of cutting the mila. Choser, he has to go back if he left out tzitzin. Bein al tzitzin ma'akvinas hamila, bein al tzitzin shein ma'akvinas hamila. So even though there are parts of the skin of this arla that are not absolutely, as we said, indispensable, you could live without him, you could be mekayim the mitzvah without him, nevertheless he should go back and cut them, as long as what? He's still involved in the cutting. He hasn't yet removed his hand from the cutting. Piresh, let's say he removed his hand already. Rashi says, Silek Yado. In such a case, Al Tzitzin Hama'akvinas Hamila Choser, he should go back and cut those Tzitzin which he absolutely have. That's a requirement. But Al Tzitzin She'en Ma'akvinas Hamila Eino Choser, he doesn't go back to those Tzitzin which embellish the mitzvah, Zekeli Me'aveyu, but are not absolutely required. So here we have a gigantic controversy about how to understand this. Because, after all, you might raise the following question. Let's say he was parish, he was silek es yado, he removed his hand. So therefore, the Braisa says, he goes back on tzitzin ama akvin, those are absolute requirements, he has no choice. But tzitzin shein ama akvin, eino chozrin. What's so terrible? Okay, it's Eino Ma'akev, but Zekeli Me'aveyu, he wants to cut the entire Orla, do a great job, the way he was meant to do it, and why not go back? So Rashi explains that the case in the Braisa, which is, this fact is omitted, but it's understood, says Rashi, is that we're talking about Shabbos. Right? If the eighth day of the Bris Milah coincides with Shabbos, the Torah says, V'yom ha-shmini ha-filu b'Shabbos, we override the Shabbos for the sake of the mitzvah of milu. Now the Gemara makes sense. The Braisa says that, look, if you have no choice, it's part and parcel of the mitzvah of milu, that's called tzitzin she, ha-ma'akvinas ha-milu, you have to go back, you have no choice, you violate the Shabbos because the Torah says ha-filu b'Shabbos. But if it's tzitzin she'ein ma'akvinas ha-milu, if you're only doing it for the sake of hidur, of adding to the mitzvah and enhancing it, that doesn't have the power to violate, to override the Shabbos. That's the way Rashi interprets it. But the Rambam doesn't seem to have that pshat. The Rambam, in two places, seems to indicate, and the one who caught this is the Kesef Mishnah on the Rambam, that we're not talking about Shabbos, that the subject of this price is not Shabbos. That even on a weekday, these same identical rules apply. That once the Moel has removed his hand, he doesn't go back for Tzitzin She'enam Akvinis Hamila. And therefore the Rambam says in Perek Beis Halacha Dalid Milchus Mila Hamol Kolz Man Sha'osek B'Mila, he hasn't removed his hand. Choser, he goes back and he completes the Mila. Bein Al Tzitzin Ma'akvim, Bein Al Tzitzin Shein Ma'akvim. Pirish Al Tzitzin Ma'akvim Choser, Al Tzitzin Shein Ma'akvim Eino Choser. Once he was Pirish, that means he removed his hand, then he only goes back for Tzitzin Ma'akvim. He does not go back for tzitzin she'en ma'akvin. And the Rambam doesn't mention a word about Shabbos. The Rambam repeats himself in Halacha Vav, v'chozer al tzitzin ha-ma'akvin af al pisha pirish, v'al tzitzin she'en ma'akvin kol zman shelo pirish. Says the Kesef Mishnah, b'raisa kasve b'samuch, we will show this b'raisa in a minute, that's the b'raisa that we started with, the Imra Benu Hayu Mefarsha B'Shabbos Dafka. If the Rambam would have accepted Rashi's interpretation that the Brice is talking about a case of Shabbos, Lo Hayalola Kosfoli El Shanosa Khan, he shouldn't have repeated himself. The Rambam is very scarce on words. Why does the Rambam feel himself compelled to repeat himself? Avol Mashma, but he interprets this Bein B'chol Bein B'Shabbos. The Rambam wants to spell it out. And again, if we had time, we would go through this word by word, how each case in the Rambam comes to be mechadish a different din. But basically, le'inyan chol, v'eino chozer al tzitzin she'en ma'akvin. The Torah, on the other hand, seems to reflect the sheet of Rashi. The Torah says, yesh tzitzin ha'ma'akvin es ha'mila. This is in Siman Reish Samachdal, it's the end of your first page. V'yesh she'en ma'akvin. Oh, son, there are those who are not absolutely required. Ketzah. And he goes to describe which parts of the Orla have to be removed, and which parts of the Orla do not have to be removed. And he says the following. Hamol, this is three lines down. Kol's mancha misasik b'mila, as long as he's in the middle of the ma'isa mila, chozer ben al tzitzim akvim ben al sheinam akvim, pirish, once he removed his hand, is eino chozer ella al hama'akvim, the ein tzarech lachz al she'ein ma'akvim, pirish. Ma'iri b'shabbos, he interprets like Rashi, v'oz, then, since it's Shabbos, and now he's violating the malach of Shabbos, is chozer al hama'akvim, he goes and continue, and he picks up the knife again, so to speak, right? And he cuts those that are absolutely required. This is the part that you want to underline, because here the Torah is arguing with the Rambam, the last line in the Torah. Because even the tzitzit she'ein ma'akvin, although they're not absolutely required, but nevertheless they enhance the mitzvah. What's that called? Hider mitzvah. So for hider mitzvah, at what loss? You don't sacrifice anything by cutting off the tzitzin she'ein ma'akvin. On the contrary, you gain that you enhance the mitzvah. And zekei levian vehu. On chol, it's a neutral case. Why shouldn't you do so? On Shabbos, you have a problem. Because for the sake of hider mitzvah, we don't override the Shabbos. For the sake of tzitzin ma'akvin es ha'mila, where we have no choice and it comes under the ikar mitzvah of mila, without the tzitzin ma'akvin you forfeit the mitzvah, then we override the Shabbos. And now the question becomes, what about the Rambam? Why does the Rambam insist that even if it's a case of chol, once he was pirish, he was mesalik yado, is eino chozer al tzitzin she'eino ma'akvin es ha'mila? So before we analyze the Rambam Shita, I'm going to ask you a question that Reb Chaim Brisker used to ask his students to sharpen their minds. It's like a quiz question. Here's the case. It's the first day of Sukkot. You have two esrogim on the table. One esrog is a suffek esrog, suffek eino esrog. But it's absolutely stunning. It's beautiful. The other esrog is definitely a vadai esrog. It's definitely belongs to the min of an esrog, but it's not mahudar, it's not beautiful at all. It's really grassroots basic. Says Reb Chaim, both esrogim are on the table. There's no question that you want to take both of them. One of them you have to take because of Vade Kosher. You don't want to be stuck with something that might be a lemon, right? And you want to go to the mitzvah. On the other hand, the one that's Vade Kosher is completely lacking in Heder mitzvah. So you definitely want to take the one that's absolutely beautiful. So you have to take both. But how did he sharpen the minds of his students? He would ask them the following question. In what sequence, which esrog should he take first? Your first name is Chaim? Yeah, Chaim, what would you say?
You're going to take the one that's suffek first, because this way, if it is a valid esrog, then you're yotzei hider mitzvah.
Whereas if you take the other one,
you're yotzei the mitzvah, but you're not yotzei the hider.
Correct. And why in the case where you took the vadei kosher first, do you forfeit the hider mitzvah?
Because then the second one is actually a bracha levatal.
Right, well, forget about bracha levatal, meaning once you are yotze your mitzvah, there's no possibility of being mahadur the mitzvah. So that's what Reb Chaim says, it's a little bit counterintuitive. Take the suffek esrog first, because if it turns out to be an esrog, you also at the same time gain heder mitzvah. Whereas if you take the vadei kosher first, that's it, you end it. You know, finito, as we say. The story is over, ball game over, you makayim your mitzvah, it's meaningless to be mahadur the mitzvah. That was the assumption of Reb Chaim.
Would a person make a bracha in that case, though?
Well, Reb Chaim held that since you're taking the suffek for the sake of suffek, therefore it's not a hefsek in your bracha. Question is,
make a bracha first or make a bracha after?
No. Reb Chaim said that you can make a bracha on both esrogim, and there's no problem with hefsek, because hefsek is only if you do something that's irrelevant to the mitzvah, but here it's relevant to the mitzvah because you're making an effort to be mekayim the mitzvah bidura, and that's not a hefsek. And therefore, even if you weren't yotzei with the first netilah, the bracha is chal in the second netilah, and the first netilah is not a hefsek. But the point is, now we begin to shed a light on the Rambam Shita. because this Reb Chaim is going to be very beneficial for the Rambam. The Rambam says that during the week, if you're doing Mila, then should you add the tzitzin she'eino ma'achvim in a samil? Should we encourage the Moel to do so? The answer is it depends. If he hasn't been mesalik yado adayin lo pireish, right? He's still toch kidei the yasiya sam mitzvah. Then it makes sense. He hasn't yet fulfilled and completed his mitzvah. Add the tzitzin she'ein ma'achvim in a samil. But once it was pireish, he's already completed the mitzvah. Now it's too late. So when the Rambam says "Eino chozer al tzitzin she'einam akvin esamila," what he's basically saying is, don't tamper with this child here for no reason. Meaning, if you're not going to gain a heder mitzvah, it's exactly parallel, I believe, to the case of Reb Chaim, where you already took. If you did it in the wrong order that Reb Chaim did not recommend, you already took the kosher esrog. Now it's meaningless to take the esrog as a second round for the sake of heder. You already fulfilled your mitzvah. That's the Rambam in the case of Chol. In the case of Shabbos, so then we understand very well, Bain, whether it's the Rambam sheet or the Torah sheet, or you can't go back on tzitzin she'eino ma'akvin es hamila and violate the Shabbos for the sake of heder mitzvah. But the question is, if let's say you weren't pireish and the mole is still in the middle of his mila, then he's allowed to be chozer on tzitzin she'eino ma'akvin es hamila, because then somehow he's expanding his mitzvah of mila. Because as we said at the outset, the mitzvah of mila requires removing the arla. And even the tzitzin she'ein ma'akvin es hamila are part of the arla, otherwise there would be no heder mitzvah. And as long as he's cutting the arla, he's fulfilling the mitzvah of mila, and mila is docha Shabbos. Good. So now what we want to do is analyze the machlokas between the Rambam and the Torah. So what I have for you on the second page, if you'll turn, is part of an essay. It's a very long essay. We're not going to be able to study even a fraction of it. That was written by Rav Ozer. I don't know if you're familiar with him. He's really one of the giants, the young giants of our generation. Brilliant thinker. And although I can't say I agree with everything he says, there are some brilliant points here that I want to call to your attention. First of all, if you look at the left column of your page on the top, he quotes the Brisker Rav. You know, the Brisker Rav gave Shiurim in Kachim, and Nazir was one of his favorite mesechtas, and his Talmidim wrote up notes, which are called stencils, that although they don't have, you know, they don't have the original writings of the Brisker Rav, but you can tell, you know, what's authentic and what's not. So here he has, based on the Brisker Rav and Nazir, a brilliant insight. He says the following. Omar HaGriz al Chakira Yesodit. Here we have what we call a fundamental Brisker Chakir. Yeah, I come from the school of thought of Brisk, so I'm always excited by a Brisker Chakir. He wants to know the following. What is Heder Mitzvah? And he offers two definitions to classify and define Heder Mitzvah. Ha'im hu chiyu bifnei atzmo lehader b'mitzvah. Zeh keli v'aveyu. And zeh keli v'aveyu is a command, is a mandate that I can fulfill in 613 different ways. But really, at the end of the day, I'm fulfilling the mitzvah of Zekei Levi Avei. Oh, now we get to the second possibility. Gidro, to define its essence, is kisnif uprat mipirte kol mitzvah u'mitzvah. It's not a universal general mitzvah, we call a mitzvah klalis, but rather it's a mitzvah pratis, it's a din misuyam. Every mitzvah has its own built-in heder mitzvah. In other words, every mitzvah engenders a double chiyuv. One chiyuv is to fill the basic mitzvah, that which is absolutely required and indispensable. And then the mitzvah also engenders its own chiyuv of heder mitzvah. In this sense, Zekeli Me'aveu is what we call a Gili Milsa. It's only revealing to us something about the nature of all mitzvahs. That each mitzvah has its own independent, local, built-in chiyuv of heder mitzvah. He says to embellish the second interpretation, he says, Shekach geder mitzvah atzva la sosa behider. Now, you remember that I said to you at the outset that Rashi holds that a lulav hayavesh is possible. That means if I take a dry lulav, I'm not yotze by mitzvah. And why, says Rashi? Ze keli van veil. Does Rashi accept, or let me put it to you this way, could Rashi be reconciled with either of the two definitions of the Brisker Rav, or would we have to assume one or the other of the definitions of the Brisker Rav?
Consistent with the Vita that it's inherent in the mitzvah.
Correct. Because if it was a separate mitzvah, Zeh Keli V'Aveihu, it's not ma'akev. It cannot be indispensable. It couldn't disqualify the mitzvah because of Zeh Keli V'Aveihu. Meaning, if the mitzvah l'chud and Zeh Keli V'Aveihu, heder mitzvah l'chud, and they're two separate entities, then okay, I forfeited Zeh Keli V'Aveihu because I took a dry lulav, but it doesn't mean that I've negated my basic kiyum of ulakachtem lachem. Of Kapos Tmorim. Rashi must be maintaining, therefore, that every mitzvah has within it a Zeh Keli V'Aveihu. It's a built-in local mitzvah. And therefore, the mitzvah of lulav requires not only fulfilling the lulav basically, but also fulfilling it with a Zeh Keli V'Aveihu. And Rashi adds that therefore, if you forfeit any possibility of Zeh Keli V'Aveihu, then the mitzvah is completely disqualified. But wait a second. Is this really true? The Gemara tells us in Masechta Sukkah that lulav ein tzarech agat, which means that you don't have to tie together the lulav with the aravos and the hadas. And even if you took them one after the other, or at least you took them together but without binding them together, without the agat, you're yotze. Against Rabbi Yehuda, we pass on like the Chachamim, lulav ein tzarech agat. But the Gemara says that you certainly have to do the agad, even according to Chachamim, in order to obtain the kiyum of heder mitzvah of Zeh Keli V'Aveihu. And yet, lulav ein tzarech agad means b'dieved. If I took the lulav without the agad, what's the din? I fulfill the mitzvah, I obtain the kiyum. Wait a minute, if Rashi is maintaining that Zeh Keli V'Aveihu is built into the mitzvah, and therefore lulav hayovesh is possible, lacking hidur disqualifies the mitzvah, then why not apply the same principle to the case of agat? And yet the Gemara establishes, and that's how it's paskin in all the codes, that lulav ain't tzarech agat, even though agat would certainly beautify and enhance the mitzvah. And this, of course, is going to engender the following conclusion, that there's got to be two categories of heder mitzvah. Sometimes heder mitzvah is inherent in the mitzvah. It's built into the mitzvah itself. It may even disqualify the mitzvah to the extent to which you do the opposite of heder. You know, yavesh is just the dramatic, profound opposite of a heder mitzvah. It's got no element of heder whatsoever. Then there's another category of heder mitzvah, which is a general one, which is not built into the mitzvah. Zeh Keli V'Aveihu. If you go back now for a moment to the first page, do you remember I pointed out to you in the Braisa, in Shabbos Kuflam and Gimlam and Beis, that there's something very strange over here. The Braisa is talking about a sukkah na, a lulav na, a shofar na, a tzitzis na. You know, this all seems to indicate that these are embellishments of the mitzvah. But there's nothing here about the basic definition of the mitzvah. The Mishnah says, the Braisa here says, take a lulav that's beautiful. It doesn't say that if you took a lulav hayavesh, which is lacking in Zeh Keli V'Aveihu, it's possible. But perhaps what this Braisa is focusing on and adding is not the first category that we said, where the Zeh Keli V'Aveihu is built into the mitzvah itself. It's indigent to the mitzvah, but rather a Zeh Keli V'Aveihu that's a separate independent mitzvah to beautify the mitzvahs. The Braisa is giving us examples of how to beautify mitzvahs. So let's go back now to the paragraph of the Brisker Rav. Oh, that's an interesting question. Where do we derive it from? Okay, we're going to get to that in Mitzvah Shem, depending on time. So the Hochiach HaGriz, this is on the fifth line of that same paragraph, Katzad HaZeh, Mihad Pirish Rashi, Lulav Hayovish Possum Itam Van Veil. Vechen, now this is Sugya Gittin. The Gemara wants to know what happens if you wrote the Shemos of Hashem in the Sefer Torah without Kavana Lishma. So Rav Yehuda advocates, Mavril of Kulmus Umakacho, that he should write what's called ktav al gavi ktav. You know, he does another writing on top of the lower writing, and he has the kavana lishma in the second writing. That's okay. Chachamim are not happy with that, and the chachamim say that the sefer in this case is pasul mishum van vehu, and the Gemara quotes the pasul van vehu. Says the Brisker Rav, ilu hayadin klali bifnei atzmo, if it was an independent requirement to fulfill zekei liaveu, ma makom lifsol hamitzvah mesuyemes biglal chisaron hidur. Just because you're lacking a different mitzvah, that's why we should negate the first mitzvah. V'od bir lefizeh amai chozer al tzitzin she'ein ma'akvim kol shelo silek yado. He asks the following question. Imagine it's Shabbos. And the Brisa says that if you're doing meal on Shabbos and you weren't Mesalik es Yodo, you can return, I mean, you can continue, I should say, even for Tzitzin She'ein Ma'akvin Etzam Milu, which is only what? Zekeli V'anveyu, it's not indispensable. Frek de Brisker Rav, I don't get it. How could you violate the Shabbos for the sake of Zekeli V'anveyu? The Torah says Mila is Docha Shabbos. The Torah doesn't say Zekeli V'anveyu is Docha Shabbos. The answer is, says the Brisker Rav, Zekeli V'aveyu reveals something about the nature of the mitzvah, that specific mitzvah. As long as you're involved in the mitzvah, the enhancement thereof is a kiyum in that mitzvah. You obtain that mitzvah, namely Mila. Is Shaminan Shekiyum Hidur Kiyum B'mitzvah Gufa, and therefore the halacha that Mila is Docha Shabbos applies in this case. If this be the case, Rabosai, then maybe if we turn to the next page, we can begin to get a grasp, an insight into the machlokas between the Rambam and the Tur in the case of Chol. Do you see the left column on page Hay, all the way on the bottom? Tzitzin she'ena ma'akf. Vadai gam haRambam svir leshesh kiyum mitzvas mila bi etzem heyoso mo. The af al pichen sovir shein chozrin al tzitzin shein ma'akvim. Again, this is a case of pirish. The chashiv kihidur below mitzvah mishum shein chiyuv bedover. Let me try to explain what I think he's saying over here. The Rambam is of the opinion that the mitzvah of Zekeli V'anveyu, in the case of Tzitzin, in the case of Mila, is built into the mitzvah of Mila. And that we saw, and we demonstrated from the fact that on Shabbos, you could be Docha Shabbos for the sake of Tzitzin, She'ein Ma'akvin Es HaMila. But the Rambam holds that in order to achieve Zekeli V'anveyu, you have to have a chiyuv in that mitzvah, correct? The chiyuv in the mitzvah engenders not only a chiyuv in the basic chiyuv of the mitzvah, that which is absolutely required, but it also engenders at the same time a chiyuv of hider mitzvah. Therefore, the Rambam says that even on Chol, even if it's a weekday, once he was pirish, if you ask the question, is he still chayav in the mitzvah? You see, as long as he's involved in the mitzvah of Mila, and the mitzvah of Mila requires that he cut off all the arla, the entire arla, even the tzitzit she'ein ma'akvin es ha'mila, therefore he, the mitzvah, reflects back on the mitzvah of Mila and establishes that he hasn't fulfilled his chovas gavra of Mila until he removes all the arla. But once he was parish, once he completed at that moment, he has already completed his mitzvah of Mila. There's no mitzvah, there's no chiyuv that could engender zekeli mianve. Now turn to the next page. Ulam hatur, and this is on page Vav. It's three lines before the end of the paragraph. For those who like to see it inside, it's not absolutely necessary. But svir lechiyuv hider hu din bifnei atzmo. The tur, on the other hand, maintains that Hidur is a separate independent mitzvah. And therefore, even if you don't have a chiyuv, because, you know, once he was pirish, we can definitely establish that he was mekayim his chiyuv, is lahadir as ha-mitzvah, so he has a chiyuv to be mahadir the mitzvah. In other words, let's look at the Mila itself. Let me fill in some of the blanks here. There are two parts to Mila. It's interesting. The Gemara tells us that David HaMelech was once in the bathhouse, and he said, Anochi Orem in HaMitzvahs. I don't have any mitzvahs. I can't wear tefillin in the bathhouse. Can't wear tzitzis in the bathhouse. What mitzvahs do I have? I'm naked. I'm stripped of all my mitzvahs. until he realized that he still has a mitzvah. He has the mitzvah of milah. It means that the mitzvah of milah is an ongoing mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah that you fulfill immediately. Although, again, the chiyuv milah is completed. No, there's a ma'isa mitzvah which obligates you to do. That's immediate. And you cut the arla and then you have a salik yadav. Finish. You did the kiyum of the mice of milah. But there's an ongoing, continuous mitzvah of milah insofar as you have a mahul situation. The status or the situation of mahul is an ongoing, continuous one. So David HaMelech could be happy that he still is obtaining a mitzvah every second because he's mahul. So therefore the question arises, is there any point to doing a milah of tzitzin she'ein ma'akvin es ha-milah after you've already fulfilled what we call the chovas gavri, your personal obligation, the ma'isa mitzvah, you were parish, you removed your hand. So then it depends on the following. If there's a mitzvah of zeh keli mehanveyu as a general mitzvah that's not built into the mitzvah itself, then it becomes meaningful to continue the milah even after the chovas gavri was achieved. The mitzvah of milah as a ma'isa mitzvah in the active sense was already obtained. He completed his milah. He took off what he has to take off. He took off all the tzitzin ha-ma'akvin as ha-milah. But nevertheless, insofar as he, the mitzvah, engenders a general beautification of mitzvahs, that could apply whenever I have a continuous kiyum ha-mitzvah, and that we have in the case of milah, to beautify the milah, to beautify the mitzvah of milah, to beautify and expand and enhance the kiyum of mitzvah of milah by cutting off the tzitzin she'ena ma'akvinis ha-milah. So let's just summarize. The machlokas between the Rambam and the Tur revolves around the definition of the mitzvah of hidur mitzvah. Whereas the Rambam operates with the assumption that hidur mitzvah is built into the chiyuv of that particular mitzvah, it's what we call a chiyuv misuyam. It's separate. It's particular to that mitzvah. The Torah, on the other hand, engenders a general mitzvah of hidur mitzvah that applies independent of the mitzvah itself. And then Afkamina is going to be the case where I've already fulfilled and obtained my chiyuv mitzvah. My chiyuv mitzvah is gone. The kiyum mitzvah could be enhanced. The Rambam understood that hidur mitzvah is part and parcel of the chiyuv mitzvah. The Tur understood that as long as there's a kiyum mitzvah, I can enhance that kiyum mitzvah by embellishing and enhancing the mitzvah. The nafka mitzvah is going to be if we are chozer on tzitzin she'ein ma'akvin es ha-milah on chol. On Shabbos, for sure we can't do that. Because once the gavra obtained his kiyum mitzvah, he was mesalik es yado, then even if there would be a kiyum of hidur mitzvah, it's not milah, therefore cannot override the Shabbos. But on chol, we're going to have machlok between the Rambam and the Tur. The Rambam is going to maintain it's pointless. It's an exercise in futility to go back, it's totally futile, to go back and cut off the tzitzin she'ein ma'akvin es ha-milah, because once your chiyuv is gone, there's no source, there's no root to engender the mitzvah of hidur. The Tur on the other hand says, wait a minute, it's true that the chiyuv is gone, the gavra was mekayim his chiyuv, we can't impose upon him a chiyuv, but yet there's an ongoing continuous kiyum in the case of milah, so even after he was mesalik yado, he has the ongoing, the continuous kiyum, he can enhance that kiyum by doing the milah on tzitzin she'ein ma'akvin es ha-milah. So let's just see it inside again. He says, "Hatur sviru le'shachiyuv hidur din b'fnei atzmo lahadur es ha-mitzvah hilkach." Therefore, kol heicha de'ika kiyum mitzvah. As long as I can obtain a kiyum mitzvah, the kiyum mitzvah is continuous. Hashta now is ika chiyuv hidur lahadra. Whereas the Rambam limits it to the chiyuv ha-mitzvah, the Tur has the ability and the luxury to expand it to the hidur ha-mitzvah because he understood hidur as a separate, independent kiyum. So then, if we go back to the b'risa that we began with, we have now two interpretations of this b'risa. The b'risa, if you remember, spoke about a sukkana, a lulavna, a shofarna. We suggested that the b'risa is just embellishing the mitzvah. It doesn't mean that if your sukkah is not beautiful, you forfeit the mitzvah of sukkah. The Braisa therefore is talking about a Hidur mitzvah that's general. According to the Tur, this Braisa is absolutely stunning, because the Braisa wants to establish a lulav na. If it's a lulav yavesh, then you disqualify the mitzvah because you're missing the... In other words, the Tur has two categories. This is what I wanted to point out. The Tur has two categories of Hidur mitzvah. And back to your question about what the source for the two is, but one dimension of Hidur mitzvah is built into the mitzvah. And if you have a Chefetz Shel mitzvah that's completely mufka, it's completely excluded from any dimension, any element of Hidur, that could disqualify the mitzvah. And that's Rashi who says that Lulav HaYavish is possible because of Zeh Kelim Yadveyu. In addition, and the Torah probably finds his source in this Braisa, there's another general mitzvah of Hidur, which is independent of each mitzvah. It's an enhancement of the mitzvah. It's not integral, or, shall I say, inherent in each mitzvah, and therefore even without it, you yotze the mitzvah. But the Torah would maintain that that beautification of a mitzvah as a general independent kiyum would apply whenever there's a kiyum on mitzvah. Therefore, even after he was pirish yado in the case of Mila, he would go back and cut the tzitzin she'enam akvinas on Mila. The Rambam, on the other hand, is going to have trouble understanding this Braisa unless he assumes that this Braisa is not talking about the strict requirement of Zeh Kelim Yadveyu, but rather some sort of a general, shall we say, Midah Tova. Because in fact, the Rambam only brings down the halacha of Zeh Kelim Yadveyu in two cases. He only has Zeh Kelim Yadveyu in the case of Lulav and in the case of Sefer Torah. In other words, he's only operating within the frame of reference of a strict, inherent, specific Zeh Kelim Yadveyu, which may even disqualify the mitzvah if it's lacking. And the Rambam never codifies this Braisa that there's a general Zeh Kelim Yadveyu to beautify all mitzvahs. And therefore, I would assume that that comes under the general, shall we say, Midah Tova, Avas Hashem. You know, the Rambam at the end of Hilchos Isurim Mizbeach says that when you bring a carbon on the Mizbeach, you should bring from the best. You know, this we learn from Hevel and then Kayin's old terrible situation. That's a general mitzvah. The Tur, though, on the other hand, took this Braisa very literally. And he understood that this is part and parcel of the din and the chiyuv of Zeh Kelim Yadveyu. It's not indispensable, but it certainly embellishes and enhances the mitzvah. And in the case of Tzitzin Shein Makvinus HaMila, even if he completed his Mila and he discharged his Chovos Kavra, nevertheless, he should enhance the Hidur of Kiyum HaMitzvah by being Mal the Tzitzin Shein Makvinus HaMila. Okay, Rabosai, we'll stop here. If there are any questions, I'm here, you know, to answer them. I just want to thank everyone for coming today. And Baruch Hashem, not the same without you. You really miss a little bit of walking around that. Maybe once in a while you'll show up.
Would it be so, so that?
You know, if you can.
Yeah, it's an amazing thing. I used to love staying around for a little bit.